snap today. He throws pass, it back, pass. The lateral to Edelman. He's looking to throw, and he's going to toss it back to James White, near side of the field with a counterplay blocker. Runs to the 35-40, 45-50, as he's shouldered down in the open field with a good play by Kareem Jackson. But a double pass, or the throw from Newton to Edelman, back across the field to James White. And the Patriots have a first and 10 at the 50.
Yeah, it's Julian Edelman to James White for 22 yards and a first down. New England converting 14 first downs today. That's another $1,400 donated by Credit Union's Kids at Heart to the Team Jack Foundation to fight pediatric brain cancer and help researchers one day find a cure. More at creditunionskidsatheart.org. This is the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and we welcome in Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. Greg, I said to start the show after the loss, it's the worst home loss since the one to the Eagles in December of 2015. It's inexcusable. So why did it happen, in your opinion?
Oh, why did it happen? You know, look, I'm not one to make excuses for the Patriots, and they don't make them for themselves. And really, I want to give them a pass just because of the lack of practices and what's been going on. But really, I mean, all they had to do is muster one measly scoring drive. And Drew Locke, doing a Brian Hoyer impersonation, kept giving them opportunities to do that in the fourth quarter. And they just couldn't get it done. I think if I had to look at if I had to pick one single thing on why they lost this game, it was that Cam Newton was completely out of rhythm with what's going on. I mean, he was holding the ball too long. He wasn't finding receivers open. He didn't want to force the ball. It just to me, in that sack, that third, I think it was on second down with about a minute left. I think he could have forced the ball to N'Keal Harry. I know CBS was not showing any good replays at all, but I was watching down the field on that play, and I think he could have forced the ball on the outside to N'Keal Harry or somebody, Damir Bird. My problem with Newton today mostly was with his inability to diagnose. I mean, the Broncos were blitzing like crazy in this game, and like normally that speeds up a quarterback to be like, all right, I got to do something. I can't hold the ball past 2.5 seconds. Instead, Newton was just going back there, sitting there, looking like he had all day to throw. And he did not have a sense of urgency. He just was not in rhythm with this game at all. And if I had to pick one reason why they lost this game, it was because of Cam Newton.
Hey, Greg, I do want to get into Cam Newton. I agree with you as well, but you know, you don't want to make excuses for them. I don't think Cam did after the game. You know, he took a lot of the heat on it. But, you know, do you think missing time, what happened with COVID, guys wearing face masks on the sideline, do you just think it maybe affected them on the football field today with execution and maybe where their head was at?
I think there's no question, Joe. I think it did affect them. And especially the people who, you know, want to see the Patriots fail after Tom Brady or hate the Patriots. They're going to be, you know, all over them. And you know, I'm sure once I write certain things off of this game, people will call me out on Twitter and things like that. But, I just think they normally in certain circumstances, like say they had a normal bye week, like, you know, they would have come out with a little bit more sense of urgency in this game. And it just, to me, it looked like 53 guys who hadn't seen each other in 2 weeks. And that's really what was going on. I mean, it's one thing to have a normal bye week and you're still coming in, you're having in-person meetings and things like that. But I mean, I think really, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this team has only had 2 or 3 days even remotely in the facility on the practice field in the past 2 weeks. And to me, it just looks like that completely threw off the team's rhythm and sort of led to what we saw today. They looked out of it. They looked like they hadn't seen each other in a while, and that's the way they played.
And I know that, and right or wrong, that is going to be part of the narrative because they have not practiced. But What do you think of Bill's day? Because I thought he had an uncharacteristically bad day, and I'm sorry. Like, there's things that he can know, and as long as he's been around the game, like not challenging the James White third down run that was pretty clearly a first down, but Mark short. He doesn't do that. You have him getting outfoxed by Vic Fangio when he burns a timeout when Fangio had, you know, three tight ends come out at one point, looked like they were going to go forward on fourth and inches. Has to do that. He's getting outfoxed by that guy. Like, I don't think that that has to do with them not being around each other. I just didn't think he had a good day.
Well, I don't think the timeout before the punt was a mistake. I think that Bill wanted to take one of his timeouts there just to conserve as much time as possible. So I didn't mind that, but I do agree with you on the James White spot. I think that was worth a challenge, and unless I'm mistaken, they when they go to replay there, they would have moved the ball. So all you're challenging the spot. So the spot was incorrect. You're not challenging whether it was a first down or not. So you really had nothing to lose there because they are going to move the ball. Clearly that showed that on replay. Whether he got a first down or not, I'm not sure. But it would have been close enough to QB sneak it for sure. It would have been at least fourth and inches. But my bigger problem was turning down the penalty, the illegal hands to the face
on the
Broncos, because that would have – I just went through this and went through it. So it was third and – let me just find where I wrote this.
This is before the end of the first half, right?
Actually, it was in the third quarter.
Third quarter, okay.
Illegal hands penalty on Denver with 42 seconds left in the third quarter. It would have given Denver fourth and 14 at the New England 36. Instead, they stayed at the Belichick declined the penalty. They kicked from the 36. McManus kicked a 54-yarder. And so, I mean, are you just not trusting your defense there? I mean, you're probably trying to conserve time. Maybe that's part of it, but to me, I think you accept the penalty there and you put your faith in your defense to keep them out of field goal range or at least make it a little bit harder. Instead, he allowed one of the best place kickers in the league to give them another 3 points. And instead of that, if that 3 points comes off the board, the Patriots are kicking a game tying field goal at the end of the game and extending the game and going to overtime instead of what we saw.
All right, more with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show coming up. You want to get on? We got a couple open lines. 617-779-0985. Talk more about Cam Newton's day and whether this loss today is maybe a sign of things to come. Inexcusable losing to the Denver Broncos. 18-12 is the final. Patriots now 2-3 on the season. More coming up next here on the Safety Insurance. 98.5 Sports on Patriots Radio Network.
With Boston's home for sports online, 98.5thesportshub.com.
White speeds back to the near side. Newton takes it to him. Cam's going to keep it running past the 30 to the 35. The first slide to the 39-yard line with a first down run untouched by the quarterback.
Yarder for Cam Newton there, his longest of the day. Stop and Shop has teamed up with New England's running back Sony Michel for 5 yards for families to help fight hunger issues to help families in New England. After this pandemic, 1 in 7 children are going hungry. Stop and Shop wants to fix this. For every 5 yards rushing, Stop and Shop donates 5 bags of groceries, up to 2,500 bags, to local community organizations to help families in need. So 117 yards rushing today for the Patriots. It's 117 bags donated. And for the year now, that's 836. New England's offense has rushed for 836 yards of Stop and Shop, making their donations of groceries to help families in need. It is the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and joined by Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. So some of the lack of separation, Greg, that at least I could see on TV by the Patriots wide receivers today, was it just that, or did Denver's defense and their secondary deserve some credit as well?
Oh, I think they deserve some credit for sure. I mean, but I think that the Patriots are just limited on what they have out there. And I think one of the things coming out of this game is the Patriots just need to figure out, all right, well, what they need to get back to. Okay, well, what do we do well? And maybe it's you start from the running game like we saw in the first game of the season against the Dolphins. We obviously know by now with a little bit more data that the Seahawks game was fool's gold, that that was not indicative of what this passing game is capable of. Yeah, it's capable of that against one of the worst secondaries in league history, but against anybody else, no, they're going to have some issues. And now with the beat up offensive line, now, you know, you saw Denver attack that, really bring a lot of pressure in the game. So that factors in. And I think they need to figure out, okay, well, what do we have in terms of targets and what do we do? I mean, now Julian Edelman appears, they've been off for 2 weeks, haven't even practiced, and he can't get on the field. He's held out as his snaps are being cut. He only had, 2 for 8 in terms of catches to targets in this game. That's just not good enough. Do they think about putting him on the shelf for 3 weeks? Do you think about maybe making N'Keal Harry more of a big slot instead of an outside guy and looking at alternatives, whether internally or externally? As far as that, is Devin Asiasi now just a completely a lost cause? Another game where he doesn't have a target. He also, Dalton Keene was a healthy scratch again. You think they would have had these answers or at least a direction considering the bye week, because that's when the staff has meetings and decides on certain things, but evidently not. And so they need to go back to the drawing board and they need to figure out where they need to start from and start crawling before you can walk again.
Hey, Greg, what was the philosophy today? I know you mentioned that Miami, that first game and what they did that day, but what was the philosophy today? Because to me, it looked like Cam Newton was looking downfield and they went away from the run late in the game.
Well, I think the score somewhat dictated that. I mean, I know they weren't completely out of it, but they were down. Let's see. They were down 2 scores starting late in the second quarter, basically. And yeah, you could have played more conservative and said, okay, well, we're just going to keep running the ball and do that. I think that had more to do with the offensive line. I think things were not successful there. It looked like a lot of runs were designed to go inside, but a lot of them kept getting bounced outside because there wasn't much in there with all the flux and the injuries and things like that. And so I think the game plan was to really run the ball hard and well between the tackles, but you got to give Denver credit. I mean, they did a good job. I mean, I knew coming into the game that Shelby Harris would do a good job. He's a good defensive tackle, but I also thought that, guys like Purcell and Sylvester Williams and, their linebackers did a nice job too. I think there was a problem with the blocking all the way around, and part of it that was Denver and Vic Fangio, who's one of the best defensive minds in the league, being really aggressive, taking it to the Patriots, and the Patriots didn't really have a counter punch for that.
That Philip Lindsay is a pretty good running back for Denver, but
yep. Undrafted too.
You can find him anywhere, Greg. But did Denver figure out a blueprint here that if you do have a decent running game, this is the way to attack the Patriots? Because up front, like, they had no answer.
Yeah, and I think that's another case where they are dealing with a ton of injuries, and so they didn't have Byron Coward. He's on the COVID-19 list. Bo Allen still is, I don't know, on a milk carton someplace. And they did not, what was surprising is they did not activate, I think it was Carl Davis, who they signed from the Jaguars, I think it was, practice squad. And he was not active for the game, and so they were really limited. Then Adam Butler goes out with an elbow injury and comes back. So I just think and I think it was indicative of their struggles on the defensive line outside of Lawrence Guy. I mean, they really didn't have anybody. So they're basically sending, like, Juwan Bentley on every down into the line because I just didn't think they had enough bodies to stack up how they normally do. And so, yeah, I think a lot of teams are looking at the Patriots right now in terms of their personnel and they're licking their chops. If you have confidence in your offensive line and your running backs, there are definitely plays to be made there against the Patriots.
Take some calls here. We got Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. Couple open lines you want to join us, 617-779-0985. Ralph in Cranston, you're next here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show.
Hey, guys. the tight ends, first of all, these guys, you can see that they probably, I mean, they missed off-season workouts. They didn't have a preseason. We got to give them a pass for now. They're talented. I just don't think they're ready. You know, the offensive line is kind of devastating. You got so many good offensive linemen out, so that's understandable. But, you know, the funny thing is, if it wasn't for the defense, I think this team would be winless. And I look at Cam Newton, and, you know, I shake my head. You know, he was used to such a demonstrative guy, just physically, like Brady, yelling and make sure everybody's together. One of those sacks today, it looked like the guy came from 40 feet away to hit him. I mean, come on, the guy's coming at you. Brady always got rid of the ball. I mean, Cam Newton's playing like he's on Valium. If you can't win this game today, a talented guy, but I don't resign him. I'm already saying, you know what, he's just not the type of quarterback I think that can win a game. If he could, you're playing against a horrible football team today. You can't, and the last throw where he missed, I think it was Harry. I mean, come on, you were so far off. You missed him by 20 feet. That's your fault. I just, you know, and I'm not bashing Cam Newton. He is what he is. He's just not my type of quarterback. And this team is not that good. You know, they just didn't have a ton of talent and a lot of depth when they came in. But now they can't afford injuries, and they're getting injuries. They're getting COVID problems. You know, it is what it is. And when I watched it today, I wasn't really, you know, surprised that they played poorly because of you know, the COVID stuff. But I just don't think you can look at this team and think that it's going to do much at all. I mean, they're going to go through the season. I picked them to stop maybe 7 wins. It's probably what it's going to happen.
All right, Ralph, I'm going to let you go on that. I do want to go back to what he first said, though. Greg, do you give the rookie tight ends a pass right now? I feel like they should be getting some kind of production out of these kids, at least one of them.
No, because what I'm hearing from talking to people around the team is that they're just not ready. They're flat out not ready. And, you know, and that's on them. I mean, there's only, look, you can make all the excuses you want, but this is a dumbed down version of the Patriots offense. It would be different. I would be giving them more of a pass if Brady was still here and Brady was operating the offense at an advanced level. But this is a basic Patriots offense that we're seeing, and these guys are just not getting it done. And then it starts on the practice field, or when they've been on the practice field. They are not executing well enough on the practice field to get chances in these games, and that you haven't even seen Devin Asiasi with one target. And we've talked about it before. I mean, if you thought the kid had potential and you had at least a little bit of confidence in him, you would dial up a play for him very early, probably on the first drive of the game. And that they haven't done that speaks volumes to me. So I'm not making any excuses for them with the COVID. There are plenty of other rookies around the league, including on this team. There are rookies doing good things, and those guys aren't.
Greg, just quickly, if when you watch the tape, Devin Asiasi wide open today, Cam Newton doesn't throw to him. Why are they on the field? If they're not ready, why are they on the field? And at this point, don't you need something else? Like, Ryan Izzo isn't working. We you know, he fumbles the ball today. Like, he was open today. It was very similar to the Danny Amendola wide open Matt Slater play down the sideline in the AFC Championship game. Watch the tape. He's open. Cam didn't throw to him.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, it's a good point. I just think that I think that there could be – look, the person who controls everything on this team in terms of personnel is Bill. So, you know, people can say whatever they want about the guys or you know, as long as Devin Asiasi is the number two tight end on this team, Josh McDaniels has no other repercussions than to put him out there to be the number two tight end. Some people might, you know, want different personnel, but it's until Bill makes that decision, this is what they have. And so, you know, I think that's one of the things they have to decide. Do they keep using two tight ends, or do they just go to more four wide? And I think the argument is there to go to more four wide, but then all of a sudden now you're dealing with a perimeter passing game where that's not really Newton's strength or the strength of this team. And so there's a real dichotomy between the Patriots personnel and what they can execute at this point.
More with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal coming up.
From the Denver 24, fourth and 10, shotgun snap. Broncos setting a blitz. A throw by Newton to the right. Incomplete with Harry, who was open at the 10-yard line. The ball sailed to the outside as Harry turned to the inside. And the Broncos, whose trip to Foxborough was delayed by a week, are going to come away with their second straight win and their first victory here at Gillette since 2006.
Welcome back to the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and joined by Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. New England Dairy and Chase Winovich have teamed up for Home Fridge Advantage. After today's home game, dairy farmers of New England donating 100 gallons of milk to help fuel families in need. Learn more at NewEnglandDairy.com. And New England has now had three home games. So New England Dairy Promotions Board has donated 300 gallons of milk to fuel families in need. That last pass there, Greg, that's on Cam Newton, right?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't taken a quick look at it. Yeah, I mean, from what I remember, it was it was basically one-on-one coverage. And the cornerback stayed deep. It was almost like a cover three type of thing or a quarters coverage. And so normally with the Patriots receivers, that would indicate sort of like a quick hook, not something to the outside. If it was more true man coverage, then you do go outside. But I think Harry read that right, and I think Newton read that wrong.
Another question I have about the offense and the game plan, or maybe lack thereof today. So Damian Harris goes to Kansas City, has a good day there, 100 rushing yards, I think he pulled one off of 41. Like, it was, it was good performance for him for his first real game, right? So he starts today, 5 carries first quarter. He ends up with 6 for 19 yards, catches one pass for 14 yards. Like, what happened there? Why'd they go away from him?
I think they were just trying to find something that worked. And the, you know, Harris is, while I think he's a little bit more dynamic than Michelle is, he's an inside runner. He's a between the tackles, one cut type of guy. And the Patriots, at first blush, couldn't find really anything going there. I mean, it seemed like every time Harris got the ball, there was a safety coming down in the box and his face coming in unblocked. I mean, I think the story of this game offensively might be the number of unblocked guys in this game, whether it was the run or the pass. It just seemed like the Broncos really had a good plan for the Patriots. And due to all the changes on the offensive line, even before this game, in this game, I think that the Patriots weren't able to counter that. And I think they couldn't find anything that worked in this game.
Greg, have you ever seen a time? I mean, 2002 was the last time, but they didn't give up a touchdown today and they lose the football game. Like, I still can't get over that. But what's more upsetting to you? Is it the fact that, you know, that they just, the offense just was literally did nothing all day, or the fact that they still had a chance at the end of the game to win this? Like, what was more frustrating to you?
What was more frustrating to me was this was a game that they should have won, even if they played terrible. I mean, we've seen it in the past. I remember telling people at halftime that, you know, if Brady was here, this was a game where you're like, well, the other team just screwed themselves because they left too many points on the board. And you know that's going to come back to roost. And Newton had the opportunity to make that come to fruition for the first time himself, and he couldn't do it for whatever reason. So to me, that's the most frustrating thing.
They tried though, Greg, didn't they?
Yep.
I mean, my God, what was that first interception by Drew Locke? Was that just a miscommunication? What? I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, he took full responsibility for that after the game. I don't think he had much of a problem with the second one, and you got to give Jonathan Jones credit because he made an incredible catch on that interception, and not many people do that. You're just sort of – you're looking for a kill shot. I don't know why you do that when you see what kind of coverage the Patriots are in, once you drop back the pass. But, yeah, the first one was on Locke. He read back shoulder. The receiver read, no, I'm going on a go route, and it was terrible, and it looked like a little mini Brian Hoyer there for the Broncos there for a while.
Speaking of Brian Hoyer, inactive today.
Yeah.
Was that surprising to you?
No. I think it's indicative of just how upset the Patriots coaches were after that game.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
so they felt that they had that game if it wasn't for Brian Hoyer.
Well, I think they felt that, and I don't disagree with them, that's the whole reason why he's there and why he's being played over Stidham, is because, you know, he's the veteran who has started 40 games in this league. He can go out there and not make the mistakes, and he just made 3 critical mistakes that led to what should have really been a victory for this team. And I think the the coaches were pretty upset about it.
All right, as we're talking about the quarterbacks, Mark in the car has a question about the long-term development at that position. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Basically, a game like today is much more harder to take because of the, looking for that long-term development. And we're looking at a situation where the likelihood that the three quarterbacks on the roster right now might not be here next year, let alone 2 years from now. So my thought is, like, I mean, and I'm, this isn't, like, trying to bring up trades and everything, but, I mean, if there's a guy like Dwayne Haskins sitting on the bench, and we know that Stidham and Hoyer are probably not part of the future, but Newton brings the grit and the professionalism and all that that we want to go with for this year and a transition year while we're looking at things, why aren't we doing that? It feels like a development year, and my concern is that the offense is going to take 2 or 3 years to develop once we actually have the quarterbacks not only starting but also on the bench. I'm just curious about your thoughts on that.
Thanks, Mark. Well, so you see a performance like today, and I guess you take it with a grain of salt because of, you know, the lack of practice, right? But I don't know. Do you look at that today? And I think some of that stuff with Cam Newton, like taking those sacks and taking so long in the pocket, I've seen that before when he was with Carolina, Greg. Like, is he a long-term answer? Doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, Jim, I just think it's – I'm not ready to overreact to this game and also to the season in general. I just think – look, I think they were going in a pretty good direction. You know, the Raiders game was a bit of a bump in the road for Newton. He didn't play in the Chiefs game. They haven't had much practice. I think this is one of those seasons where you really can't overreact. And I am not one of those guys who traditionally overreacts anyways. And I'm just dialing it back for this season. Like, I think this is going to be one of the stranger seasons that we've ever seen. And like, even my preseason prediction for the Patriots, I had them starting 4-6 on the season and winning their last 6 games to win the division. And so I thought that they were going to struggle for a while with all the changes and, you know, partly with this situation. I think people just need to be patient. And look, I'm all for throwing more resources at the quarterback position. Like, I would totally be in on getting a guy like Sam Darnold. If the Jets go into a fire sale or they get, you know, Trevor Lawrence, I would be in on that. Dwayne Haskins, I would never, ever be interested in, because I don't think the guy wants to be great and he's lazy. You know, from people that I've talked to around the Redskins and also him coming out of school. So that's sort of where I am on the quarterback position. But I wouldn't overreact. There's a lot of season left to be played.
Greg, do you really think the offensive line was bad today?
It sure looked like it from where I was, but I mean, I'm not watching it that closely at the game. There's too much. I'm typing too many things and paying attention to too many things to really notice. But to me, it looked like there wasn't many openings. It looked like to me that the Broncos were just they took the approach of we're gonna put a lot of bodies into the box. We're going to bring a lot of people down. We're going to challenge you man on man on the outside to beat us. We don't think that you can, and the Patriots couldn't.
See, I thought a bad snap, obviously, by Tooney.
Yep.
When, you know, got
he looked like he had a terrible game, and he didn't look healthy.
Yeah, and then he was part of that interception, I think, as well. Illuminor got hurt. But I just thought Cam Newton held the football too long today. Now, maybe you're right about the running goals, but I think Cam did hold on to the football.
I agree with you. And I think, you know, but part of that is also the receivers. And you know, we've seen that in the past with Brady with some of these guys, is that, you know, you're waiting for somebody to be open. It's just not going to happen. I think Cam just needs to recalibrate some things, and it looked like, you know, he was out of rhythm. But I think the offensive line had a rough day, and I think the receivers couldn't get open. The Broncos probably played a little bit more aggressive, probably played more man coverage than they were anticipating, and the Patriots were slow to adjust to that.
Jeff in the car, you're next here with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, how are you guys? I'm a Bills fan. I'm not here to troll. I know what the last 2 decades.
Oh, here we go.
Sound like for me. I'm not trolling, trust me, fellas.
Josh Allen is the greatest quarterback ever. Let's just get it out of the way.
No, I'm not that high on Josh Allen. In the first 5 games of where he was last year, I think he's somewhere in between. He's not Mahomes. I get that. But anyway, I was high as a kite, I'll be honest, the first four games. And then Tuesday was a big letdown. They're now 4-1. And after watching this game, I'm starting to think, well, maybe Buffalo can win the division. It's been 16 at the time they last time won the division.
Yeah,
24 years, something like that.
Yeah, Jeff. Well, how about this, Greg? If nothing else, with a loss like today's, does it make you think like there's no gimmies going forward unless it's the Jets?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that me, Felger, and Maz could have lined up and beaten the Broncos or anybody else this season, because I didn't think the Patriots really had it in them to play that poorly. But yeah, for sure, I don't think there are any gimmies this year. All right, maybe the Jets.
Yeah.
But everybody else will be. And I think we talked about this before the season, where I think I turned that, like, just about every game is going to be a tractor pull for this team, because I don't think they're all that talented, and it's going to take them a while to really get cooking offensively. And I think that's going to hold. I mean, you know, look, they have the 49ers coming up, mm-hmm, next week, and then the Bills after that. I mean, they better get their stuff together, or they're going to be staring at 2-5 real quick, because yeah, the 49ers are struggling. You know, they're a team that they're one of those teams that's going to turn it on coming in here to play the Patriots. And Shanahan, you know, has a lot of respect for the Patriots, and it's Jimmy's return game, so those guys are going to want to play for him. So, yeah, I mean, I think this could be the defining moment for the season, how they rebound from this, because I don't know if they can afford to go to 2-5, but if they can turn it around suddenly and all of a sudden turn it into 4-3, you know, now we're cooking. Now we think a lot differently about this team.
I mean, Joe put it in a real sobering way a little while ago when he said that this Broncos team did their damnedest to try to lose to the Jets a few Thursdays back. And it's like, oh, God, that's right. Because, I mean, they have some nice players. That Bradley Chubb's a force. Jerry, yep, Judy is nice. But, like, other than that, they're not good. Like, they shouldn't have lost this game today. They really shouldn't have.
I know. I mean, how did you like that the Broncos took their fourth-round tight end, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, Albert we'll call him. Okibunum or whatever his name is.
He was a Felger and Maz big board guy, yes, Greg.
But yes. Went to Missouri. I said Iowa
tested,
earlier.
He was on my tight end chart. He tested really well at the combine. He's big. He's fast. I don't think he's exactly the sharpest tool in the shed. So I can see why and people were questioning his motivation. But this is a guy who was inactive for the first four games, is active for the first time today, and he was targeted six times, caught two passes for 45 yards, and then you have Devin Aussie and Dalton Keene.
Yeah, Albert Okwuegbunam, I think is how you
there
say
you it. Go.
Okwuegbunam. Yeah. That's broadcast professionalism right there. All right. More with Greg Bedard coming up. You want to join us, 617-779-0985. More next here in the Shaw's Patriots postgame show on the Safety Insurance 98.5 of Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network.
Now the Pats are going to line up and go for two.
Why are they going for two?
In an 18-9 game. Out of the I formation, Harris behind Johnson. Tight end to the right. Edelman motions left to right. Newton has Harry in a tight set left. Newton takes the snap, drops back, play fake to Harris. Newton stands in, he pumps, feels some pressure, starts to run straight ahead. He goes down. Sylvester Williams brings him to the turf. Newton gets to the one. So the Patriots
makes no sense to go for two
conversion at some point. Opt to go for it down nine.
You go one to get it to 10 to keep it a one possession game.
Welcome back to Shaw's Patriots post game show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, for one more segment here. So you heard how Zoe was talking about that there. The Patriots go for two. An extra point would have made it an 8-point deficit at the time, Greg. They missed a 2-point conversion, makes it a 9-point game. So now they need two scores instead of one. They go for two with 8:30 remaining. I'm with Zoe. I didn't think that made any sense. And that was another moment where I felt like this wasn't a good day for Bill Belichick and how he coached today.
I don't like it either, but that's the analytics. That's what the nerds will tell you. Ew. Is that you go for it there because you're going to need a 2-point conversion anyways. So you don't want to miss it. You don't want to save it till later in the game and have no recourse. So if you miss the 2-point conversion there, now you know you need two scores. So that's how you manage the game. You know, it's two different ways of looking at it. I don't agree with it because there are just too many things that could happen in a game, like, and to just give up points, like, you know, because they get the J.C. Jackson terrible Drew Lock interception, I think, not too long after that. And then for a while there, when Jackson was running, I was like, oh, he's going to return it for a touchdown. And then so then the game suddenly looks a lot different. There's too much game to be played to make that decision then. But I'll tell you, that's the way the analytics look at it. I don't agree with it. I like to have save my best 2-point conversion for later in the game, and people say, well, now you only need one. You either take it then or you take it later. But still, again, you don't know what you need. Like, they could kick a field goal and whatever. Like, I like postponing the inevitable until I need to get there. So I'm waiting to score 8 points at the end of the game. People disagree.
The 49ers are on deck. We'll see them tonight. We know they can run the football. What are the Patriots going to do on their D-line? Do you know any update on Adam Butler and what happens with Bo Allen at some point?
Well, I saw Butler come back into the game.
He did.
With
okay.
Some go-go gadget thing on his it was probably left over in Gronk's locker or something, some sort of brace for his right elbow. So he was back in the game. Plus, you know, he's a situational pass rusher. That's what he is. They need a big body. The clock on Bo Allen can start anytime he's ready to start practicing. He spent the required 3 weeks on IR. From now on, he can start practicing whenever he is cleared. And evidently that still hasn't happened, thus far into the season. And so the Patriots need to make a choice there. I assume Davis, provided the Patriots can actually practice this week, should be up to speed and ready to play at some point, and he's a solid veteran plug-in who will help. But that's another area where the Patriots need to see what their answers are going
to
be.
Go to John in Freetown, who has some thoughts after the Patriots lost to the Broncos today. Go ahead, John.
Murray and Murray, guys, honestly, I love every show you're on. I really do. I tune in now just to hear both of you on.
Oh,
my question to Mr. Bedard is this. Is this just a culmination of 3 years of awful trading draft picks, terrible personnel choices, and missing basically on every single draft in the last 3 years?
So it's funny, to put it another way, it's funny, Joe has brought this up a couple of times during commercial breaks, Greg. Like, at some point, he's the greatest coach ever, but at some point, like, you're going to need talent, and it seems like the lack of talent in certain areas is starting to catch up to the Patriots and Bill Belichick.
I agree. And, you know, what if Owenu didn't hit this year?
Right.
You know, where would they be? How would you view this year's draft and things like that? And I'm not one to criticize drafts in the first year or even, you know, 3 years in. So, but there's no question that the Patriots are lacking, when you look at their roster up and down, they're lacking, you know, an influx of young talent in a lot of places. And, you know, maybe down the road, guys like Uche and Jennings and, you know, Duggar does have a role. Hopefully it gets bigger as the season goes along. Jennings, those guys make an impact. But, yeah, I mean, you know, look, when you just give away a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu for 8 injury-plagued games, not exactly a good move. And those are those second-rounders are guys that you project to be starters at some point early in their careers. I think it's definitely fair to look at that.
I see this too. This Tucker Boynton, who was one of the former interns on Feldman Guys, tweeted, the Patriots have gone back-to-back games without scoring 13 points for the first time since 1999, weeks 15 and 16, the end of the dark days of the Pete Carroll era, George.
Look that up. They went 8-8 that year.
I said, Greg. Greg, so what can you do internally from now until next week against San Francisco to try to fix this offense and you know, make sure they're getting into the 20s, because I think they're going to need to beat that team.
Yeah, I think they're just going to have to practice more, and they're going to have to go back to basic plays. I mean, that's sort of what the Patriots do when they are scuffling on offense, is that they sort of go back to their old standbys and you know, play action and it'd be helpful to have a tight end that you know that you can rely on. They don't right now, but they got to figure that stuff out. They have to figure out, you know, what they do well running the ball. Screen game could probably be included a little bit more, but that again, I think that also goes to the lack of practice time. I think these timing plays like screens, it's tough to call those with any conviction if you're Josh McDaniels, because those take a lot of practice and a lot of timing, and then they just haven't had that. So then, you know, now what do you do? And it's so it's all a big adjustment, but that's where it starts. You have to figure out, all right, what's our best personnel? What are the plays that we can run that we can execute at a high level and sort of go from there?
Jesse in New Hampshire next with Greg Bedard here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show with Jim Murray and Joe Murray as well. Go ahead, Jesse.
How are you doing, guys? All right, two things on that last play in the game. I think Newton was throwing to the outside always, and N'Keal Harry went the wrong way. And N'Keal Harry is pretty much a bust. His feet are too heavy, and he's not an outside receiver.
I disagree. Greg?
As far as the where Harry plays?
No, I thought Cam Newton just missed him.
Yeah, I'm actually just, I'm trying to call it up real quick to get a good look at it myself, cause I haven't seen it, but, yeah, I thought that they were playing off that the Broncos, and that would make a lot of sense that they were playing sort of like a cover three type thing. And, yeah, they were playing a little bit deeper. So normally it's a little hook. And I thought, yeah, I don't think that's an out there. Because that cornerback is sitting back and has vision on Newton. So if you don't throw it, if the receiver just doesn't turn around and run a little button hook, then you risk the chance that the guy could come up and pick off the ball. The way that Harry ran the route with a button hook, the cornerback has to go through him. So I think that, in my opinion, Harry made the right decision. But I could be off on that. Plus, Denver was bringing a ton of pressure on that, and Cam was obviously he felt that pressure and got rid of it probably before he wanted to.
One more thing before we let you go, Greg. We're a few weeks away from the trade deadline. Leading into this game, there's been add wide receiver, add tight end, you know, add on defense, add. If they lose next week to the Niners, are we maybe starting to talk about a sell-off?
I don't think so. I think with the extra playoff spot in both leagues right now and sort of the unpredictability, I think that every team is going through. I think there's been a major injury issue in this league with what's been going on in this offseason, and every team is going through major injuries, and you just don't know what it's going to look like come December or January. So if on the Patriots, look, 8-8 might get you into the playoffs this year. Certainly 9-7 will have you right there. So no, I am not selling, unless there are some sort of major injuries, like say Cam Newton goes down or something like that, then maybe I might think about it, but, no, in general, no.
All right. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, read him at bostonsportsjournal.com. Catch you Tuesday, 2 p.m. with Felger and Miz.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Take care.
I'm sure it'll be quite the adventure this week.
Oh, you know it. Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Again, read him at bostonsportsjournal.com.